Our Father, we would humbly ask that you would apply your word to our hearts today. We know that the very essence of sin is self-deception, and we have to have you, the Spirit of Truth, show us who we are before you. And we would pray, our Father, then, that you would open our hearts to your word and that you would have the word applied to us, we would ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Please open God's word with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking today at two verses in the section, Ephesians 4:15 and 4:25. But let's read the surrounding verses. We'll begin reading Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 13, and then we'll jump down to verse 20. Ephesians 4 and verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Verse 20. But this is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Ephesians 4:1 was that hinge from the doctrinal section, if you will, to looking at the more practical ethical section. If this is who you are in Christ, and here's the work of the triune God in accomplishing your salvation and applying it to you, believer, even before time, here's now how you live and walk this way, a life worthy of the gospel that you already have in Christ. Because you are that new creation, live this way. Last week, we were looking at God has a process for you to become conformed to the image of Christ. And that process is very simply, it can be explained in this way. Verse 22, put off the old man. Verse 24, put on the new man. This command is a continuous present. It will never stop. It's for all believers, all of our life, every day. This is how you're going to grow in Christ, depending upon the Holy Spirit each day, but more and more put off sin, more and more put on Christ. And it's in that way that Christ is going to be formed in you. And then you look at verse 25, and it starts with, therefore, and here's now Paul is giving six specific examples of this off-on principle. And we'll be looking at each of them. It's interesting that the first couplet that he uses is put off falsehood and speak the truth. This is how you are to grow in Christ. You are to learn more and more to put off all that is false and to put on truth. This is how you grow in Christ. And so first consider with me the believer's commitment to speak the truth. And then what does that look like? The believer's application to speak the truth. An article in the New York Times stated that 91% of Americans confess that they regularly do not tell the truth, 91%. 20% admit that they can't get through a day without a conscious, premeditated white lie. Contrast to that, the believer's commitment is to speak the truth for three reasons. Your God is the God of truth, and falsehood is the antithesis of God, and third, because your identity is the truth. Because your God is the God of truth. The truth is the very essence of God's being. O Lord, the God of truth, Psalm 31:5. Each person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the attribute of truth. God the Father is the Father of truth. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, John 17:3. Sovereign Lord, holy and true, Revelation 6:10. Just and true are all your ways, Revelation 15:3. God the Son is the God of truth. He declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, John 14. He has the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1 and verse 14 and 17. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life, 1 John 5:20. He is holy and true. He is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, Revelation 3:14, and many, many other verses. God, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth, because he is the Spirit of truth, John 15 and verse 26. And so the Holy Spirit is of truth, has given us the Word of God, which is truth. It's complete truth. It's not partial truth. It's accurate. It's complete revelation of what God wants us to know and to have about him. It's sufficient for a church in a fallen world. It's the truth of God. Truth is the very essence of the triune God. It's impossible for God to lie. He is not a man that he should lie, Numbers 23, 19. In fact, he cannot lie, Titus 1, 2. It's impossible for God to lie, Hebrews 6, 17. And this is the message that we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. It's impossible for God to be in any way false, in the smallest way. What do you do when you wrestle with doubts of assurance of salvation? I hope that you do not look inside, do more self-analysis. Was my faith sufficient? Do I feel closer to God today? You don't do inner evaluation. You turn objectively. God is the God who cannot lie, and he has promised, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And I'm hanging my heart on that, that God is truth and God cannot lie. That's the basis of your assurance of salvation and the promises of God, who cannot lie. God is the God of truth. That's why we have a commitment to speak the truth. We can take that and turn it the other way around. We can say we have a commitment to speak the truth because falsehood is the very antithesis of God. If God is the God of truth, the antithesis is God abhors falsehood. Proverbs 6:16, six things the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him, haughty eyes and a lying tongue, a witness who goes and utters lies, who spreads strife among brothers. Psalm 5:4, you destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful men. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 12:22, an abomination is a biblical word for something that is so vile, it's under the hatred and wrath of God. Lying. It's the very antithesis of God. What a contrast to our society, where falsehood is just treated so flippantly, as long as you get away with it. But it's the mark of Satan and his kingdom. He's the father of lies. He's the murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him, Jesus said. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. He's the consummate liar. And all in his kingdom are marked with darkness and under a lie. Truth is not relative. Falsehood is not acceptable when it's just a white lie. Falsehood's not acceptable when I lied just to save face. I lied to get out of an awkward situation. I lied because I didn't know how they'd respond. I wanted to avoid their anger. I wanted them to like me. No, we don't live by the standard that the unbeliever accepts or what even our conscience might allow. The believer in heaven is described as there is no lie found in their mouths, Revelation 14:5. Even now, that's the standard for the believer. It's our commitment to speak the truth because we belong to the God of truth. And falsehood is the very antithesis of God. And third reason is because now in Christ, you see, your identity has become the truth. Look at Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Speaking the truth, or it's hard to bring into English. It's better the idea, truthing. In other words, it's not just your vocabulary. It includes that. But every element of your life is to be truthing. It's your very identity. It's a present imperative. It's continual now. All of your life, God has brought you into the truth. Let that truth saturate your thinking, your life, your values, your living, your relationships. All that you say, all that you do, you are to be truthing. Verse 24, here's the mark of the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, better translated, the holiness of the truth. True here is not an adjective, it's a noun. Here's one of the three descriptions of the standard of the new birth. As we looked at last week, being restored to Adam and Eve before the fall in the Garden of Eden, God is restoring you to this bar, and that bar is marked with truth. That's the very identity that God is bringing you to, has brought you into, is now conforming you to truth. Look in chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What does that look like? For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. It's your very identity now that you've been brought to Christ. Be truthing. What is the first piece of the armor, which we'll look at in Ephesians 6 and verse 14? It's the belt of truth. Why is it so important that our life be the truth? Our speech, our life, everything about us be the truth, because it's a question of which kingdom are you in. It's a question of allegiance to which kingdom. You've been brought out of darkness, Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. You're no longer the unbeliever, the futility of their mind, darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. But you've been brought into the truth that is in Jesus, Ephesians 1, 13. You've been brought in him, the truth. Question for you, and look at verse 25. Why do you think it says, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor? Why this? For we are members one of another. What does that have to do with speaking the truth? Why is that added to this verse? Truth is not only our identity, but your relationship in the body of Christ demands it. We are in the one body. We are being conformed together to the likeness of Christ. If one part of the body is not truthful, it's going to affect the whole body. For example, in the human body, imagine the chaos, imagine the malfunction, imagine what would happen if your eye is telling you things, the objects that are reversed. Remember, before my cataract was ripe enough, they said, I saw three lines in the center of the road. I knew there were not three lines in the center of the road. But my eyes were telling me there were three lines in the center of the road. What if your brain tells you there are noises and sounds that are not there? You need psychiatric care. What if your nervous system is telling you that you're being cut with knives and pain? It's fibromyalgia. The existence and the health of the body demands accuracy, demands truth from all of its members. John Chrysostom, the great preacher of the 4th century, said, if your eye sees a serpent and lies to your feet, saying it's simply a stick, not only will your feet die, but your eye also will die. If your mouth tastes poison and tells the stomach it's not poison, then not only will your stomach die, but your mouth will die also. When we lie, we not only harm the other person, but we ourselves will suffer damage. That's the argument. Additionally, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, how can we lie to our neighbor? It's impossible. If in Christ, we who are many form one body, lying then is harmful not just to me, it's harmful to the body. It's a sin against the body of Christ. It's a violation of health to us all. It's impossible to overestimate the importance of truth in the kingdom of God, a central defining characteristic of the triune God and his kingdom. One of the most frequently used words in Scripture, a cornerstone of the kingdom of God, as Ed Welch put it. Speaking truth instead of lies is not simply being nice, it's a declaration of allegiance. Truth is a shibboleth, a telltale mark revealing that you belong to the kingdom of God. Speaking the truth is not just simply good manners. Speaking the truth is not just being nice. But it's a mark of which allegiance, of which kingdom are you in. If the pattern of your life, if the default of your life is to lie, if the default of a person's life goes to falsehood, that is inconsistent with the profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody who's indwelt by the Spirit of truth must have a recognition of truth and error, repentance and hatred of, and turning from darkness and living in the truth. Believer, do you today have that commitment to speak the truth? Because your God is the God of truth. He's brought you into the kingdom of truth. And therefore, this is now your life commitment. We need to remember, according to verse 22, it's not our nature to speak the truth. Falsehood is part of the old man. And so it's going to feel normal to lie. It's not going to feel normal to tell the truth. For example, you don't have to tell a child, you don't have to teach them to lie. Unless, that means that unless you and I are self-consciously working on becoming more and more truthful, then the default is to go to falsehood. That's our old nature. And there must be this commitment all of our life to put more and more falsehood away and speak truth. If you think, well, I have this area pretty well, okay? I think I'm a pretty truthful person. I would lovingly challenge you. You might be self-deceived to even think that. The sinful heart is self-deceived. And it's a heart of humility before God of saying, I realize I have a long way to go to become more and more truthful. Oh God, do that work in me. Search my heart. And for the rest of your life, by God's grace, the prayer is, Lord, show me, make me more and more truthful. It's a believer's commitment to speak the truth. What would it look like? What will a life of truthing look like? Here's eight descriptions. You've recognized them in the past. We've used them in counseling. It's a good review to reflect on these things. What does truth look like? It means that we put away all lying, all forms of deception and falsehood. Verse 25, when it says, having put away falsehood, the Greek word is pseudos. You hear that brought right into English, pseudo. You put pseudo in front of something, and you've turned something real into false. If you have pseudoscience or pseudo-history, pseudo-medicine, you've turned something which is true into false. And here the text is saying, you've got to put away all that is false in your life, in your speech. Ultimately, a diet is only won by the small decisions not to snack, only the small decisions to take that walk today, and so too with truth. If anyone thinks that it's not a problem to lie on small matters, completely self-deceived. It's the accumulation of the small stuff that makes up the person's life. It's the accumulation of small compromises and small innuendos and small changing of words, not keeping our words on small levels that eventually big issues don't seem so big anymore. Derek Kidner summed it up well when he says, we deceive ourselves by the smallness of our surrenders. From his book, Run with the Bulls Without Getting Trampled, Tim Irwin reports, retail businesses estimate that at least 5% of their gross income is lost due to dishonest acts of employees. 5%. Our culture has embraced not only a culture of death, but the culture of a lie. David Wells, in his book, Truth in the Postmodern View, is as shapeless as a wad of bubblegum and as elastic. Everything in life can be understood differently. All is contingent. All is a matter of what construction we wish to place on it. An overwhelming proportion of Americans, 70%, believe that they have been lied to consistently by politicians. Lying has been taken to such a high level, is being done so proficiently, that it has become virtually impossible to separate truth from lie in the politics, the news, or the marketplace. We've learned to discount every claim and distrust every assertion. We do this automatically, even without thinking. Think of what just happened to Brian Williams, NBC. The Christian speaking the truth will put away all forms of falsehood and lying. Not with what you can get away with, not 80%, but comparing it to the very truth of God. Secondly, truth will not be silent when truth needs to be said. Leviticus 5:1, if anyone sins in that he hears a public claim to testify, even though he's a witness, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. If you know that you need to speak in that case and you have a truth of the matter and you do not speak, then Leviticus is saying, then you become guilty as if you have committed it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran pastor killed by Hitler for practicing what he preached, said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. There can be silence regarding yourself when you leave out information that was crucial for the listener to get the accurate picture of what you've just said. But you've left out key ingredients, and so they've left with a very different understanding. Your silence is a falsehood. Or silence regarding to others when you know you should say the truth and you don't and you hold back. Maybe it's to avoid conflict. Maybe it's to think, I don't want to stir the waters. When people think that they don't want to say the truth, that it will cause too much pain, it will stir up the waters by saying the truth, they've confused something very significant. It's not the truth that will hurt. It's not the truth that will stir up the waters. It's the object that you have to talk about. It's the issue itself that will harm and stir the waters, perhaps. But it's not speaking the truth. Earl Wilson, in his book, Restoring the Fallen, said, people will always be hurt by honest revelations. The source of the hurt, however, is not in telling the truth, but in the sin itself. Not telling only compounds the hurt. Further, we disagree with Scripture if we say, well, no one will know, it will soon blow over. Numbers 32:23 warns us, be sure your sin will find you out. Healing for the offender, for the victim, for the congregation can only begin when the truth is spoken. Withholding the truth because it may hurt someone eventually hurts many more people, stifles growth, and usually spawns more lies. Steve Zaccheon said, in most cases, when we avoid conflict, we're not really avoiding. Rather, we're simply putting off the consequences of dealing with it. Quite often, the consequences are worse down the road, or at a minimum, they hinder the health of our emotional and relational world. Third, truth does not keep silent when offended. Doesn't 1 Peter 4:8 say, above all else, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins? Absolutely right. But if we make that commitment to love covering a multitude of sins, but we just cannot cover them, it keeps coming back to our heart. It keeps hurting our hearts. The anger perhaps is there. The pain is still there. The Scripture is very clear that you must go, you and him alone. Matthew 18:15, Proverbs 12:17, he who speaks the truth speaks what is right, but a false witness deceit. Perhaps this is what's behind Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't make room for the devil. You might be the victim. You might be the one that is sinned against. Absolutely. And you might be the one that's bearing the anger, and you've tried to forgive them. But if you cannot forgive them, and in the sense of letting love cover a multitude of sins, and it's gone from your mind and gone from your dealing with that person, and you instead, I'm just going to keep it covered. I'm going to keep this anger covered. You are now sinning in falsehood. You've now become a liar. You're not speaking the truth. Fourth, truth keeps one's word. Jesus said simply, let your yes be yes. Your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. In other words, mean what you say. Say what you mean. Keeping your word, keeping it trustworthy. The line from Cicero, a liar is not believed, even when he tells the truth. if your reputation is not to tell the truth. Psalm 15:4, what's the mark of those who dwell on your holy hill? He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Can we keep my word, keep consistent, follow through with what I've said, have the accountability system, use the smartphone, write down the notes. If I've given my word, that person can count on what I've said. To not follow through on your commitments and keeping your word is to fall to falsehood. 5, truth does away with hinting. No equivocations. Webster defines equivocation as to be deliberately ambiguous, to use words to deceive, to mislead, to hedge, double meanings. Equivocation is mercury, that slippery. You can't pin the person down. When you speak to another person, does that other person understand what you mean to say? You've used clear words. You've communicated clearly. You're the Israelite in whom there's no guile, John 1:47. No subtle meanings. We're to strive to be sincere without any offense until the day of Christ, Philippians 1:10. The believer in speaking the truth and putting away falsehood puts away all double meanings, evasions, and equivocations. 6, truth does away with all manipulation. Using false humility, using emotions to manipulate others rather than just simply say the truth. 7, truth is transparent, willing to be vulnerable, honest before God. A desire for God to show you his word, to show you the sin of our own heart. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Transparency and honesty before God, but also transparency before our own conscience. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Psalm 51:6. The heart of the believer desires to come to truth, for God to bring people into his life who will show him the truth and take correction and thank. A wise man will thank you for a correction. A scoffer will mock you. When we are shown the truth, we thank them. We ask for more help. Transparency. Truth is transparent before God, transparent before our own conscience, and transparent before others. So we're self-revealers that people see us, that's the person who we are. We take a membership vow. We will, in a few minutes, promise to submit in the Lord whenever an elder would need to correct us or teach us from God's word. We take that as a vow. We are asking for help and transparency in our own lives and our own relationships with one another. How can you do that? There's only one way that a person can do this, to be open before ourselves, to be open before God, to be open before others, and that's only if you know the truth of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Because if you are in Jesus Christ and you've trusted in him for your salvation, your sins have been credited to him, he has paid for them all, and his righteousness is credited to you, and you stand before God with no condemnation. You're in a place of security. You're a place of if in his love and accepted in Christ. And then you can be transparent. Because your security is not tied into you having to present a perfect image or people approving of you. You've been approved by God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's justification. And therefore, that's the basis. That's the only way somebody can be transparent and open and receive criticism and correction from other people. Truth is transparent. And 8, truth does not prejudge another's response before it's heard. If one gives an answer before hearing, it's folly and shame, Proverbs 18:13. Sins in the 9th commandment are misconstruing the intentions and words and actions of others. We try to connect the dots. We get this information and that information, and our own sinful hearts, if we're not careful, will tie them together in a negative way. We will assume negative motives. We will assume the worst in our sinful hearts. And it's only as we come before the Lord and realize 1 Corinthians 13, love always hopes, that we will say, I don't know the truth. I don't know their motives. I don't know what they meant by that. falsehood will be to assume the worst. Truth is to hold them to always assuming the best. Let love be without hypocrisy, Romans 12:9. What area do you need to address and grow in? What area to put off and put on? Truth puts away all forms of deception. Truth will not be silent when sees the sins of others. Truth will not keep offenses buried. Truth will keep his or her word. Truth does away with hinting. Truth does away with all manipulation. Truth is transparent. Truth does not prejudge. R.C. Sproul, it's important to understand that truth is absolutely vital and essential to new life. It's truth that changes our behavior. A sober, clear understanding of God's truth is what changes lives. If you are of the truth, if you have learned the truth, if you see the sanctity of the truth, then speak the truth. God is a God of truth, and his people are called to have an enormously high standard of truth. We need to be clear. We're not saying speaking the truth makes you a Christian. Speaking the truth and being a nice person and dependable and trustworthy does not make you a Christian. The only way to become a Christian is to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the substitute that has paid for our sins in our place. But then as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're called to live a life worthy of the gospel. And that means put off all falsehood and speak the truth to one another, for we're members one of another. Are you committed to that? In your whole life, in every way, in every speech, are there any ways that you need to repent and speak to others? Flip it around. Perhaps, is this an area where you've been sinned against? People have lied to you. People have not told you the truth. And you're tempted to be jaded. You're tempted to be doubting of them. Your response is to forgive as you have been forgiven. Let love cover a multitude of sins. If necessary, go and speak to them, you two alone. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Shall we pray? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you have revealed that you are the truth, the triune God. You have brought us into Christ, into the truth. This standard that we are called now to live a life worthy of, we know is an area that we are called to, but it's going to require us more and more to put off falsehood and to live the truth. Thank you for those that you've brought into our lives that challenge us, that call us to speak the truth and require us to grow in this area. Thank you for your word, which raises that bar and shows us this is where we're headed. We pray for any today that have areas of their life that are areas of deception, areas of hiding, areas of not in the truth, that you would convict us all to put away all areas of falsehood and speak the truth. Perhaps there's areas of our life today we realize we need to have that conversation with someone and we need to be able to speak the truth. May we do so in the love of Christ. May we do so in your mercy and kindness as well. Our Father, we would ask, we know that this area of falsehood is part of our old nature. We are drawn to it. It becomes instinctive. It can be our default to hide and to cover and to tell the lie. We pray more and more as the Spirit of truth is within us that we will be speaking the truth. We will have a strength not of our own, a fruit of the Spirit to bring the truth in all of our lives. And so that people can see Christ, so that people will be drawn to him, the God of truth. Our Father, we ask that you will apply your word to us, each one of us, as it should be applied today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.